It's time for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. It's time for The Game on ESPN 1400. For the next 2 hours, we'll get an in-depth look at local sports in the Eastern Upper Peninsula and Algoma region, and hear from the coaches and players involved in the game. We'll also analyze the college and pro sports scene across the region and dive into the biggest national stories. Now, let's get to The Game and join your host, Scott Nason.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to The Game, brought to you by ESPN 1400, WKNW Sault Ste. Marie, powered by The Game Entertainment and Media, and currently heard at thegamesportshow.com and thegamesportshow.podbean.com. As the man said, my name is Scott Nason, broadcasting from the home studios on this Memorial Day Monday, May 25th, 2020. And before we get to the sports and everything else that comes along with the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, let's take a moment today to remember all those that have given their lives in the United States and Canada for what we like to have, freedom. And boy, we're seeing a lot of freedom expressed here locally and, well, really everywhere due to the coronavirus and the COVID-19 pandemic. But let's never forget the greatest generation and all those before and currently that are serving our armed forces, both in the United States and Canada. Remember and remember them fondly. Let's get to the local sports. Not quite sure who's going to be joining us tonight on the round table. We kind of just let the dice roll, and when the time comes along, hopefully we can be joined by Butch Davis from Butch on Sports, who had a brand new edition of his show last night, which you can find at thegamesportshow.com and thegamesportshow.podbean.com. We're hoping to also be joined by the host of The Game Sports Show in Sioux, Ontario, David McKeag Jr., and our correspondent and co-host from Escanaba, Michigan, E.J. Russell. Let's start with local sports, and there's quite a bit of news here. Let's start with the summer sports. Now, we do know, and we've talked about this for the past couple weeks, about youth sports, which in many cases usually start right about now. Well, we do know that there will not be any Sioux youth soccer, as they canceled their season last week. After reviewing all of its options, the Sioux Soccer Association has canceled its season. The league was holding out hope, extending its registration deadlines and putting together tentative plans for a later-than-usual starting date, but there were just too many questions without answers surrounding the coronavirus pandemic and the impact on providing a safe way to operate the league, as the Sioux Soccer Association board has made the decision not to play this summer. According to their president, Terry Wilkins, he says, "We're sad to report that we must cancel the 2020 Sioux soccer season. Since the beginning of this historic pandemic, we at Sioux Soccer have been monitoring the current state, or status, I should say, of our state, with hopes that we would still be able to play this summer. We talked about a shortened season, smaller teams, no playoffs, and several other options. Unfortunately, our ultimate decision based on the facts was to cancel." Again, that from Sioux Soccer Association President Terry Wilkins. He goes on to say, "A lot of factors have gone into making this a very difficult decision. I have been in constant contact with our governing body, the Michigan State Youth Soccer Association. And of course, the Sioux Soccer Association relies on that association for liability insurance, player registration, and background checks for their coaches. Throughout the event, the Michigan State Youth Soccer Association used the current orders from the governor's office to determine our ability to play. Of course, those orders are different depending on where you are. If you're down anywhere below Traverse City, you're still under a stay safe, stay home order until mid-June. If you're up here in the Eastern Upper Peninsula, it's business as usual, as you would see this weekend. We are not part of this pandemic, according to the governor and the batch of tourists that has come here. Let's only hope that, well, we'll talk about that later on. I got a lot to say about that. Well, the Sioux Soccer Association just was not willing to take the risk, especially with the liability and risk management. And, well, it's a sad thing because, you know, 250-plus registrations had already come in. I know many of our listeners have children that were looking forward to playing soccer. I think it was the right call by the Sioux Soccer Association, and looking at what Terry Wilkins had to say about the reasoning, I think he spells it out pretty well. There's just too many questions as far as safety. And again, you look around locally, you wouldn't know if this weekend. I would say I was surprised, but I really wasn't surprised at how people around here have taken this not very serious. And I guess I was going to save this to the end of the show, but it's been on my mind a lot this weekend. I am still staying at home. I'm still wearing a face mask whenever I go into enclosed places. And a lot of people aren't doing that right now. And we saw a bunch of people here in northern Michigan from the infected areas downstate. And it's not to, you know, criticize those areas, but the fact that there were many people around here partying like it was 2019. I was not out, but I have several firsthand reports from people that were this weekend that the 50% occupancy in many local establishments is not being followed. The mask protocol certainly isn't being followed, and I have firsthand account of that just going into grocery stores. And it's not a matter of politics. It's not a matter of who you support in 2020, whether it's Trump or Biden. It's a matter of safety. And, you know, it reminds me of the helmet law. I don't care. If you don't want to wear a helmet, that's your business, because it doesn't affect anybody else that's trying to follow the rules. And that's what it is with this mask. It's not a matter of, well, I'm not wearing a mask because Trump doesn't wear a mask. That's not it. You're possibly infecting people that are trying to go by the rules and infecting those people that are highest of the vulnerability categories, including seniors, including my parents, including lots of people that I care about. Put on a mask, adhere to the standards. I'm just going to say that. We're going to see what happens here in Chippewa County in the Eastern Upper Peninsula as far as if we will see a spike in cases. And I would not be surprised with the recklessness. And I'll just put it out there. It was recklessness going into local watering holes, not wearing shoes and shirts and the bikini tops and everything else. And it's ridiculous. You may not know that you have the coronavirus because so many people, 1 in 3, I believe, are asymptomatic. And we're just going to have to hold our breath and see what happens. I hope in 2-3 weeks I can listen back to this recording and call myself an alarmist. I would certainly love to be wrong. There's nothing more wrong I would love to be wrong about than what I'm talking about here over the last few minutes on a sports show. And so I'm just going to leave it at that. Adhere to the standards. Be careful. Don't be stupid. Sounds like a Shania Twain song. Anyway, back to sports. So we do know the Sioux Soccer Association has canceled their season. We're still waiting to hear about the Sioux Area Little League, along with youth softball and Sioux men's slow pitch. Now, there was some guidance from Little League Baseball as far as a pathway forward to restart amid the COVID-19 pandemic. The organization last week released a series of best practice guidelines that highlight how to create a safe playing environment whenever state and local authorities give youth sports in a given area the all clear to restart. Little League has canceled the 2020 Little League World Series and other championships, but they're hopeful that a regular season may still be possible. Some of the recommendations include eliminating all non-essential contact, banning the post-game handshake in favor of lining up along the respective baselines and tipping caps to opponents. Other guidelines, all players should wear masks while in the dugout, and coaches and volunteers should wear masks and protective medical gloves at all times. Players should also be separated by 6 feet while in the dugout. Well, good luck with that. I don't know if they know that dugouts around here aren't exactly major league level, so I don't know. They're going to have people stand outside. Umpires would move behind home plate to behind the pitcher's mound, and game balls would be switched out every 2 innings. Again, these are guidelines, and they're leaving it up to the local organizations No update from the Sioux Area Little League as far as their website or any information, along with some of the other ones that I just mentioned. We're just going to have to wait and see. Obviously the season usually starts by now, and with the guidelines different in areas, I mean, businesses are open, bars are open in this town. I wouldn't be surprised if Little League is open, but if I had a child that was playing Little League baseball in this time, I'm not too sure. I don't know if I would be in a rush to get them out there, but we're just going to have to wait and see, and of course, we'll keep you up to date on everything here on the game. Not a lot of news out of Lake State as far as their updates on sports programs. We do have some WCHA news that we need to get to, but the Laker Athletic Program announced the cumulative weighted grade point average for all student athletes during spring 2020 semester was 3.39, which was an improvement over the fall 2020 semester when the combined grade point average was 3.278. For the second consecutive semester, women's tennis led the Lakers with the highest team grade point average as the team combined for a 3.67 GPA. The women's cross country and women's track and field teams also had very good GPAs, 3.6 and 3.5. Hockey led all men's sports with a team GPA of 3.48. Men's and women's golf teams also had strong performances, the women at 3.51. while the men, 3.45. All 12 programs posted a team GPA of 3.0 or higher during the spring semester. So the grades are good at Lake State. And again, as of right now, they are planning face-to-face classes, lots of talk as far as schools and what's going to be happening in the fall. Technically today is the first day of summer, the day after Memorial Day, I should say, is the first day of summer, so we're going to have a lot of planning. A lot of people are going to have to figure out, as far as students, college, elementary, middle school, high school. I got to say, right now, personally, I'm not in any rush to get my kids back inside a classroom until we know more about this pandemic, but again, I'm just throwing my opinions in there. Take them as you will. Well, we do know that the Laker hockey team is scheduled to play in the WCHA this season. It was a 10-team league. Well, that's changed. It's now a 9-team league. The University of Alabama in Huntsville on Friday dropped their D1 men's ice hockey program effective immediately. According to their president, Darren Dawson, and athletic director, Cade Smith, after a comprehensive review of their athletic offerings and the associated long-term budget implications, we have made the difficult decision to discontinue the men's hockey. They also discontinued men's tennis and women's tennis programs. They cited budget constraints related to the COVID-19 crisis as, well, they just have some problems down there as far as budgeting and, of course, Alabama Huntsville, their travel schedule, and the fact that after this next season, they will no longer be in the WCHA along with Alaska and Alaska Anchorage. And I would expect that those two schools, certainly, they've had some financial issues since last season that's not related to COVID-19. So I would not be shocked if both those schools drop their hockey programs. Again, just speculating on that point. But we do know that Alabama Huntsville will not be in college hockey. They are the first men's D1 program to be discontinued since Wayne State in 2008. And the 12th since 1973. So this actually leaves the Lakers without four games. The Lakers were set to host Alabama Huntsville January 1st and 2nd and travel there February 12th and 13th. So right now the WCHA, they have 9 teams in the league. And if those Alaska schools, and I really expect that there's going to be something coming out from up there over the next month, maybe in June, as far as their financial situation, you could see the WCHA with only 7 teams, and if the Lakers lost the Alaska teams, that would be 6 more games. So you have potentially 10 games wiped off the board because of these programs possibly falling. But again, speculating on the Alaska, but we do know that Alabama Huntsville will not be part of any college hockey next season. Well, speaking of hockey next season, the Sioux Greyhounds, They're going to have a training camp on time, and that really goes for all the Ontario Hockey League teams, the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League teams. I would say right now, probably not. You look at what's going on in Ontario, they're still not allowing gatherings of more than five people, and we're going into June, and so you look at the Sioux Greyhounds, how are they going to ensure that their players are protected? It's unless the government restrictions are very they're eased. I mean, are you going to be comfortable as a parent sending your son to somewhere where you don't know exactly what's going on? I have a sneaking suspicion that it's going to be a while. And, you look at junior hockey with fans, without fans, you got border issues as far as the teams like Flint and Saginaw in the Ontario Hockey League, the Sioux Eagles and the NOJHL. What's going to happen as far as come August or September with travel restrictions, with, every state being different, parts in every state being different. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens there. Of course, the Sioux Greyhounds also part of the Memorial Cup bidding process. There are no planned dates as far as the Sioux Greyhounds and Oshawa Generals, the two teams that are vying for the next Memorial Cup. And again, we don't know if the next Memorial Cup is going to be where the last Memorial Cup, which was canceled, is going to be. There are just so many questions. We'll try to answer them as best we can here on the game. But right now, there's certainly a lot left to be said. Well, we did get some news from the Sioux Thunderbirds. We talked last week about their former head coach, John Parco, giving up his chairmanship, if you will. Well, a very familiar name to Hounds fans and to fans of Sioux Ontario hockey is going to be their next new coach. The Sioux Thunderbirds announced last week that Denny Lambert is their new head coach and assistant general manager of the hockey team. This is a news release from the Sioux Thunderbirds. Lambert brings his experience as a former OHL head coach with the Sioux Greyhounds, as well as a very notable playing career in the NHL and the OHL. Lambert played over 800 games professionally and played locally for the Sioux Greyhounds for 3 years prior to turning pro. Boy, I remember some of those games. First started seeing the Greyhounds right around the time of Denny Lambert, back when you had the Enforcers. Oh my goodness, was he certainly an enforcer back then. Probably still is. Lambert was the assistant coach with the Sioux Greyhounds for 5 seasons prior to becoming head coach for another 3. Currently, he is a First Nations police officer with one of the police services in Sioux, Ontario. According to Lambert, I'm looking forward to being surrounded by great people that are motivated to build a culture of excellence, ensuring the development of their players and staff, and providing an entertaining brand of hockey to the fans of the Sioux Thunderbirds. Associate coach Jeremy Stevenson, he's going to be joining Lambert and his staff. Stevenson played 4 seasons in the OHL and over 200 games in the NHL. And the hockey team has also announced that Mickey Sartoretto and Aiden Wright will be assistant coaches. Of course, both played for the Sioux Thunderbirds. Aiden Wright played for Lake Superior State University. And so the Thunderbirds getting their coaching staff set for what hopes to be an NOJHL season coming up here. Not a whole lot of updates from the NOJHL. Again, everybody just kind of waiting and seeing what's going on. We're going to take a break here on the game. We come back, we will start our roundtable. We're hoping to be joined by Dave McKeg, the host of the Game Sports Show in Sioux, Ontario. Also, Butch Davis from Butch on Sports and EJ Russell from Escanaba, Michigan. We'll be back on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, national sports show, The Game, currently heard at thegamesportsshow.com.
You can follow The Game Sports Show on Facebook and Instagram at The Game Sports Show.
Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to the game, sponsored by ESPN 1400, also the Game Entertainment and Media, and currently heard at thegamesportshow.com and thegamesportshow.podbean.com on this warm beginning of summer night. Once again, happy Memorial Day, and never forget those that gave their lives for the freedoms that we so enjoy and savor. We are in our roundtable portion of the show. EJ Russell could not make it tonight, although he did catch a big fish I saw in a video today, so he's probably out filleting it and enjoying Memorial Day. But we have our other two co-hosts here, including Butch Davis from the podcast or his radio show Butch on Sports, which you can find at simplybutch2, that's T-O-O, .patpodomatic.com. As Butch joins us each and every week to talk about what's going on in the world of sports. We're going to have our other guests coming on here in a moment, but we'll go to Butch first. Butch, happy Memorial Day, and how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fairly well there. How you, and yourself?
Doing good, Butch. Summer has hit up here for sure. The weather has broken. We're finally seeing some nice weather up here. Speaking of that, our next guest and co-host of the Game Sports Show in Sioux, Ontario is here. Mr. David McKagg Jr. joined the roundtable. Kagger, how you doing on this warm Monday night, sir?
Scotty, Butch, I'm doing great, you guys. Happy Memorial Day to all of our United States listeners and friends. And very happy to be able to join you guys for this, as always, great edition on Monday. And I hope you both are doing well.
Thanks, Dave and Butch. And let's get right to the roundtable, guys. We want to get right to it because Dave's got to leave a little bit early. So, Butch, I'm going to go to you first as far as sport topics that you want to discuss. Dave, I'll give you first crack at Butch's topic. So, Butch, what's on your mind tonight in the world of sports, sir?
Whee!
off the get-go.
I'm sorry. Okay. Well, let's here. We heard about the National Hockey League and also NBA basketball there, geeking the fans and frenzy up on their wanting to complete the season and all. I just want to get you guys' take on the crap here. I mean, the subject.
Yes, Dave, we'll go to you first. NHL, they're starting to try to get their ducks in a row along with the NBA, trying to resume the 2019-2020 seasons. The NHL wants to go straight into the playoffs, it appears, with a 24-team situation. NBA, maybe not so certain as far as what they're going to do. Butch had a great topic, or has a great topic. Dave, I'll give you first crack.
You know, it's obviously something that we've brought forth the last couple weeks, and there's been obviously developments since we've last discussed about this, right? And the 2014 format has been approved since. And, you know, there's a lot of people that aren't in agreement to it. There's obviously, it doesn't really matter what fans or what even anyone else inside the hockey world believes with it. The NHLPA and the NHL have approved it. So they're going to proceed. Today they announced that June, they're hoping to get into phase two. And then obviously phase three would be to where that's actually going to get started and the puck is going to drop. Obviously there's some ongoing areas to kind of get resolved, and that means travel into North America, including the United States and or Canada. Obviously they have to decide for sure the hub cities. They're obviously going to announce when they do it, the teams that are going to be playing against each other. Obviously we've heard rumors, seen rumors, seen how the format's going to go. So it's pretty much been announced, but not officially. So in the National Hockey League, it's going to be very interesting to see how all that shapes out, right? I've said it here on the show numerous times that I feel that the best course of action, is to go through Ontario and use hub spaces in Ontario. That I know we have increasing numbers here in Ontario, which is really concerning, of the coronavirus. However, the hockey rinks in the surrounding area, being Toronto, being Ottawa, being Hamilton, London, just everything close into one city, and to have each hotel booked out to the specific 24 teams is actually pretty cost effective for the teams, believe it or not. Obviously, them being able to play is going to be able to generate that revenue that they desire and that they want to get. So overall in the National Hockey League, what do I think about it? I've said it from the start is that I'm very surprised at finishing the season, but at the same time, I'm not surprised because obviously it's a business. They want to conclude this year and close the book and then move on to next year if it's going to be a delayed start, which obviously it will be. And like I said, I feel it should have been stopped and they should just close the book period and proceed into next year. But obviously people have different agendas. So now this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to be going on. So as listeners, as fans, and as players that are playing in the National Hockey League, they're going to have to do it and follow the agenda of what the league and the NHLPA puts forth. And I feel that the NHL has come up with a good format here. Now it's come up to make sure the players are safe, right? That is the corny yet obvious way to put it. So I really feel that the NHL playoff format, I believe in it. I kind of wish they just would have went with the 16 teams, but then again, there's unfairness to a lot of teams, right? They didn't get a lot of games. They're maybe a point or two out. I get it. Maybe they could have came up with something that's a bit kind of give them a chance and then make them get into the top 16. I'm not too sure how they could have did that, but this is the only possible way to do it to make it fair. You know, you have 12 teams aside, and it just makes sense. You proceed, you have a four-team bye in the top seeds, and then you basically start the playoffs once you have the get-in rounds concluded. So this is the most fair way to do it. This is what they want to do, and I'm in agreement for it. It's going to get the hub space right. Quickly with the NBA, it's a little bit different, right? Today, there's been a lot of discussion about the 16-team playoff formats, what they want to do, kind of original, what they've done, basically the teams that are involved. But there's a lot of teams that are at the bottom of those conferences that, you know what, aren't giving the fair shake and stick. But, hey, sometimes that's the way of the business. They want to close the year and go forward. And that might make this playoff format a bit shorter than the NHL, which might be a beneficiary to the NBA and the NBA players. Again, with the NBA, it's about getting the hub spaces right, making sure the players are safe. So I'm in agreement to doing something as long as the procedure's right. And with the NBA, I said if they're going to come back, they should do something based in LA and California. I know that sounds crazy because of how LA is, but now I'm hearing a lot of things about using Disney World as a place. Like, I think that's a little absurd. But again, come up with something that is safe, something that's great for players, teams, something that puts everyone in one area, but also able to stay within quarantine and follow the regulations and rules. So overall, I'm a fan of everything coming back into play. As much as I think we should have maybe kept the cold, I'm still a fan because I get to watch sports, something obviously we've been missing. Now it'll be interesting to see what they do in other sports.
Yeah, Dave, you know, I personally have my reservations about a lot of things right now. And we saw here locally over the weekend, Butch and I were on the show last week, Governor Gretchen Whitmer opened up the Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula. And we saw a whole bunch of people up here. In all honesty, I was rather disturbed with some of the things I saw. Traffic lines miles long coming. There are pictures today of miles long stretch of cars coming here. And, you know, we're going to have to see what happens in the next couple weeks because we have had limited, if no, cases of coronavirus up here. And we're going to see what happens in a couple weeks. And I think that's where everybody's at right now. Got to see what happens, and what is happening is it's mixed results wherever you go. Some states are seeing increases in COVID-19 cases that have reopened. Others aren't. Some are, you know, in the middle. And I think this poses a big problem for both the NHL and NBA just in the get going phase. Governor Cuomo from New York in a press conference yesterday said New York teams, they can come back to their facilities. Well, in Michigan, that's not the case. The Pistons can't play in or start in their facility. The Lions can't. The Red Wings, well, no matter what happens, their season's done, which many of us are very happy about. And, you know, in this state, things are different. So right now, I have a hard time seeing these seasons complete play because of so much uncertainty. You know, the NBA now is looking apparently at returning sometime in July. You mentioned, Dave, Disney World seems to be a location, but what if cases start to spike in Florida with everybody going to the beaches and not adhering to the recommendations from the CDC and World Health Organization? Because this virus is still around. It may have subsided in some places, but we're really going to have to look at the fall as an even more ominous prediction as far as more cases. And I'm very concerned about the lack of clarity with this virus and how that affects the sports world. Now, we have seen some leagues resume. The Bundesliga in Germany has had a couple weeks. The Premier League, La Liga in Spain and others look to be starting in early June. But getting back to the NBA and NHL, again, I think if they're going to get back, they're going to have to go right to the playoffs, because if the NBA was to start in July and then try to finish a playoff season, you're going well into August, if not September. And then you're getting into the fall and when the next season starts. NHL, the same sort of thing. And again, you have cross-border concerns when it comes to both the NHL and NBA. Border to Canada is still closed for a few more weeks. And, you know, I don't see a whole lot of signs that that's going to change. And so it's very cloudy. And I have my doubts and suspicions as far as what's going to happen. Personally, I guess if I was in charge, which I'm not, I would like to see more concrete results as far as the health and safety, because right now there's not a whole lot of concrete results. The cases aren't going away, and some cases are going up. And so I guess to make a long story short, I have my doubts as far as if the NBA or NHL is going to be able to pull this off. We'll know more in a couple of weeks once these teams get to their respective facilities and start training and how many people can train around others. But I have my doubts, to be all honest, or to be completely honest here. Butch Davis, great topic to start the show. What are your thoughts?
Dave, you got something to say there?
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking, before you go, Butch, thanks. You brought up people that are going to the beaches, going into parks, and Doug Ford had a very interesting quote come on, and Butch, you probably read this on social media. They have the Toronto Vidiots or something is the quote that the Toronto Sun used, because people were in a park. There's thousands of people gathering in that park, okay? And people are not adhering to the regulations. If that continues, you can forget anything that's getting planned, okay? The phase one has been approved. There's still phase two and three to happen, right? And overall, Doug Ford has said, if this continues and our cases keep going up, you can count on Canada being back in lockdown, okay? So then you basically shoot out a lot of options when it comes to players and travel. Doug Ford, I thought a lot of negative about him, but the way he's actually done this is fantastic. And the anger that I had with people in the city of Toronto today because of what they're going to parks. Oh, hey, they open the parks. We can all go there now. Hey, COVID is going down. Meanwhile, our cases are going up by the 400s a day for the past week. So overall, and I'm sorry that I cut you off there, Butch, before you went. I just wanted to jump in with Scott's point where people are lining up and when people are going to open up different areas. Heck, listen, Canada, if we don't start listening to what Europe did or how the states, how they're starting to do things a little different, we're going to be back in full lockdown and there won't be any sports.
Go ahead, Butch.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and piggyback on you, Dave. They're right there. That's not only going up in Canada. That's happening in the United States as well. I saw many parks and recreational places there. People are running around with no masks. They're in big gathering groups there. There were little to no police protection or police accordance of doing their job and making sure that the rules are that are set in scroll, hopefully there, are being negated there by a lot of people who just basically, I don't know if they don't care, maybe that's unfair to say, but maybe don't have the proper knowledge of knowing what the heck is really going on in this world. But in that particular comment and question there, and Scott, you made some very good points as well in regards to people following the rules and regulation there, which that is a hard nut to swallow right now here. And, you know, most of us are playing it safe, not doing a whole heck of a lot there. And for them, good for you there. It's tough. But again, it's things are happening, and right now, hopefully, nothing goes where again we're going to be extended additional weeks and months because of stupidity by other people there. Again, that you know, it rules are there for a reason. You're going to buy by them or screw everybody else's life up here. The question I asked there, you know, there's twofold. Let me get to you first, Dave. There, the 24 teams that were that the NHL wanted to qualify for were basically teams that are not out the playoffs there. Although some of the 24 teams at the bottom of the barrel there are very close of getting their throat cut there, they're physically or numerically not out the playoffs. So that's where they came up with that number of 24. I counted two teams that were definitely not going anywhere there. But again, technically by numbers or games played remaining, they would not be out the playoffs. So that's how they came up with that particular number, 24 there. they really haven't definitively gave up a time and a date, and that's where basically right now the hype that they're giving right now of everybody starting. Again, we don't know, and it's based on some of the comments that we have made so far in this particular subject there. You know, it's all about the general public at large, and if they're going to do everything possible to keep things at bay where the numbers go down and not go up. So, and the NBA hasn't given a date. NHL not giving a date. They're waiting for governments and bodies to say, hey, look, what are we going to do? Most of the leagues, and right now most of them are saying that we need to have it, I've been saying, well, maybe the boss is there as well as the player. They're saying we need to have it maybe in one location, which is fine and dandy. In Disney World's case, they got about three compounds there right on the outside of Universal City for ESPN and Walt Disney and all the other conglomerates that they got placed there, that gyms that I'm talking about, that they can play ball and successfully finish out the season as well as deal with playoffs, so they say. And then, you know, of course, there's a vacation set up there, and naturally they got more than enough hotels to house the players who are going to be participating in there. So those are the thoughts that were given to me by the higher-ups within in regards to how they come to these conclusions there. And in maybe in hindsight, maybe that would be the best way to do that and have them all in one location there where basically they can keep a crop of notice. Now, will they keep everybody safe? Will they be testing like, you know, everybody say, you know, when this thing first started, you know, everybody was very vigilant, washing down door handles and a whole lot of other stuff there. And as this thing moved along, you found yourself wearing a pair of gloves because those same things that they were doing when this thing first came about, it, you know, people wasn't practicing as much and whatnot there. Some of them got additional money to do that. And now, being at those particular points and being are not giving additional money anymore, it's pretty hard. So right now, you know, I would tell the general public, you know, just from where I sit as a reporter and getting all this information, is hold your horses. I feel that the NHL probably won't start till late June if they start. If they can't get it out by late June, then I don't think it's going to be a season. That's just plain and simple there. And that's, again, it's based on the numbers. It's based on the general public at large there.
Good stuff, guys, to start the show. Dave, any more comments on that subject? And then it's your turn for a topic here tonight.
No, that was definitely, I got everything I could have there, and you guys touched everything possible. But overall, it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be how all the phases come together and how we see how it's going to all pan out in the concluding of it, where when the playoffs are complete, who's going to be on top, right? If, like, it'd be interesting to see when the season gets back, what advantages certain teams have or whatever. But most importantly, it'd be good to see sports back on. But it all comes with all of us as a world working together.
Very good. Dave, your turn for a topic. What's on your mind tonight in the world of sports? I'll take first crack.
You know what? I'm going to keep it simple. I like the KISS philosophy with it and thinking about various topics. But you know what? How about that golf game the other day between Tiger Woods, you had Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning? Okay, first off, Tom Brady ripping his pants. I guess his pants were social distancing, if you will. That's a quote that he used on Instagram. I'm not taking credit for that quote. And, you know, not a very good golfer, if you will, you know, but he's probably still 100 times better than I am at golf. But overall, seeing the charities and everything that are coming together to do this and just seeing that was a good little piece of, let's say, sports to watch or entertainment, if you will. So when I go around, I want you, I'm putting you all on the spot on this. You guys are not prepared for this question at all. If there is another charity game that you'd like to see that involves celebrities, one celebrity being in that sport that you choose, one guest celebrity athlete, who are you choosing as teams against each other, and overall, what sport?
Good stuff, Dave. Yes, I watched a good majority of the fundraiser for coronavirus relief, a $20 million raise, which I think was the best number of the weekend as far as, you know, the $10 million that those four individuals donated and then some of the other donations by people. You saw Russell Wilson from the Seattle Seahawks come on a short par three, and I think he said 12 feet, I'll give 100,000 meals. And boy, three guys sticked it, man. I think was about 18 inches away from the hole. I really thought that was good entertainment. You had some bad weather. You don't see golf played on TV in that kind of rain. And I think they all did well. Obviously, Brady didn't have his best day, but he made a couple big shots. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. I like the presentation. I like the fact that, you know, you had Charles Barkley and some of his dibs going through there. And so it was really good. I really enjoyed it. And I would certainly like to see it again. As far as golfers to put in there, I'm going to kind of go off the radar a little bit for the ones I would like to see. Surely I would like to see Tiger and Phil again, but there's a couple golfers that I like, and they're European golfers. And maybe if you don't follow golf, or maybe, you know, watch it closely, which I don't for the most part, I usually watch the majors and that's about it. But there's a couple Europeans that I like. Colin Montgomery, I don't think he's going to make anybody's list here on the round table, but Monty, you know, the old Scott, I believe he's from Scotland. I like him. I like his personality. He used to always get some of the some rough and tumble razzing from the Davis Cup crowds here in the United, or the Ryder Cup, excuse me, crowds here in the United States. I'd like to see him. And another one, Darren Clark. Now you're saying, Darren Clark, who the heck is he? Well, he's from Northern Ireland, and he was up until a few years ago, he was still smoking on the course. I always got a kick out of that he'd be just letting out a cigarette there in the middle of the course. I don't know why I'm picking those two guys, but those are the two guys that come to mind. Obviously, there's some bigger names that I'm sure you guys will choose. As far as celebrities and athletes, how about Lamar Ball? Let's get him on there. As far as, I think that would be a lot of entertainment there. And I think you got to put Barkley out there as well, just for the trash talk. I think you got two stoic kind of Europeans out there, serious golfers. Put them with LeVar Ball and Charles Barkley. I think you have must-see television that I certainly would watch. I don't know how many others would watch, but I guess those are my off-the-radar picks for your question, Dave. Butch, what are your thoughts? Like my combos there?
Oh God, I'm going to top that one right now here.
I think it's not too hard.
No, wait a minute. Russell Wilson said that he'll give 1,000 meals and you can make a shot. What? I mean, why would they have 100,000 meals? Yeah, well, he can get those 100,000 meals, which are well needed right now, I'm quite sure, at schools, first liners, parents who have not, you know, why couldn't he do it that way there? Why would I have to go on national TV to announce him? That's, I don't know. That kind of watered crap down for me there. Because you could have did it anyway there. You know,
he,
being that he got a drop in the bucket kind of attitude, I'm going to drop him in the bucket when I ever see him ever again. I want to see a meaningful game of golf. You know what I'm saying? So I would pick the Lone Ranger and Tonto against Uncle Fester and Gomez Adams. That's what I want to see. I want to see that. I want to see if the Lone Ranger, I know he'll wear his mask, but will he wear them same hot-ass costumes, him and Tonto, in 85 and 90-degree weather? You know what I'm saying here, man? Will Gomez wear? Yeah, you know, with Gomez will probably be the only one in style there, you know, because Uncle Fester is going to wear that long-ass gown, looking like a monk, you know, coming out of there, trying to swing a club there, and all he got to do is look at somebody here, and the ball probably move on his own, because Gomez, he'll probably miss 1,000 times like Barkley or something there, and until he really, you know, can hit the ball, ask somebody else to do it, pay somebody else to do it here, but, you know, it was interesting, but it didn't catch my drift there. You know, I cut it on a couple times and then cut it off. They showed a big hole of let's see, Tom Brady's pants that he split. They put even a circle around it so everybody could be identified as really being a hole in his pants. You know, even, you know, he had the whites showing there. You know, like he wore white drawers or something. I don't know, but it was glad he was wearing some drawers. But, you know, I really wasn't interested in that. I think the Russell Wilson comment and Charles Barkley, you know, Brady making him look like an ass, you know, on national television. I think that was the topper of it there, because soon after he made that comment, that's when Brady went and sunk that little eagle in there, man. And that, you know, after that, I had to get a beverage or something there, because I was just laughing my brains out there. But, you know, it, for entertainment, you could give it a C or something there. But, you know, I just didn't get off on it, man. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, Dave, my fiance is a huge Tom Brady fan, hence why we watched a lot of it there yesterday. I don't know if she saw that part, or maybe that's when she kicked me out of the room for 5 minutes when that happened, because I missed it. A great topic. Your thoughts?
You know, definitely. I think a lot of, let's say, husbands are kicked out of the room to go take out the trash or go out and let the dog out or something quickly during that part. You know, I think, honestly, this was a great thing to do. And I wanted to say other sports. Like, I wanted to say maybe have a 2-on-2 hockey game or a 2-on-2 basketball game. Like, that'd be pretty cool too, do something like that a little bit different. But I think I'm going to stick to golf. You know, I'd like to stick to golf. It's not as, let's say, physical on the body. Like, let's say you get a hockey player who's an athlete, celebrity, going against in a game of basketball. All you need is that guy to roll an ankle. If it's like Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, or Crosby slipping and getting another concussion, that's all you need in something like that. At least with golf, it's you're walking, it's more safe. You know, you're still swinging a club, but it's not too harsh in terms of on the body for risk. And I think that's why maybe the Buccaneers did not care as much that Tom Brady did. You know, at the end of the day, it's I'm going to stick in the world of golf, and I kind of had a hard time choosing between two. So I'm going to keep it between two. Okay. So my first one between a charity golf would be great to see Dustin Johnson and Wayne Gretzky together. Okay. And that'd be just Rory McIlroy and Michael Jordan. Okay, those would be the four. Believe it or not, Wayne Gretzky is actually very good at golf. MJ is better, apparently, at golf. But you can have a good little, like, kind of like an easygoing kind of celebrity match with the first matchup. And it'd be the two legends of two different sports going out against each other, right? And I think that'd be something that'd be great to see. And then the second challenge would be a back-to-back. You got to get Tiger Woods and Phil back in there. I just feel like that having them there would be great. And going with today's legends, okay, and I'm sorry, Connor McDavid, he's still got some years to go to catch up. I think there's a legacy of Sidney Crosby. So I got Sidney Crosby going against LeBron James as well. So you got LeBron James on team Phil, and you got Crosby on team Tiger. You know, that those are the two games back-to-back. You got an early morning tee-off and an early afternoon tee-off, and then you have a kind of a luncheon where you have a documentary panel with all of them, hopefully featured by ESPN. That's the dream. And you could just have like a little laugh about it. You know, it's this kind of does not really go forward. That'd be my dream kind of matchup to see. You got two older legends, some great nostalgia there with MJ, with Gretzky. Then you got the legends of today with LeBron James and Sidney Crosby doing golf. Believe it or not, LeBron James would be a very good football player. Much to surprise. There's a guy who can probably play tight end on the Detroit Lions if you try it right now. No offense to Tiger fans. Nonetheless, he's a freak of an athlete. That guy can learn how to golf, I bet you, in a matter of days. Okay, so Crosby, I know that is a guy that can golf. I know that through personal friends like Tyler Kennedy who have golfed with him. So I can say right now that those would be the two back-to-back celebrity matchups. Kind of a different take, but you'd have basketball and hockey kind of combined in there, and I think that'd be great to see.
Good stuff, gentlemen. Let's continue the roundtable. We have time for at least one more topic. I'm going to get a little more serious here. Talked about earlier in the local segment, Soccer Association canceling their youth soccer for the summer. Little League Baseball, not so much, at least at this point. Little League has canceled their World Series and playoffs, if you will. But they're giving guidance as far as, you know, if local leagues want to start the season, if their health officials want to start the season. I'm just going to read a couple of them talking about eliminating non-essential contact, banning post-game handshake, 6 feet in the dugout. I would like to see them enforce that here because I think the dugouts are about 6 feet in many of the baseball fields, and some other different ideas to try to get the Little League season and some other youth sports, softball and others going. And so the question I want to pose to the roundtable, Butch, I'll give you first crack. If you're a parent, and a couple of us are parents here, Dave isn't a parent, at least that he knows of, but I'm pretty sure he's not a parent. Sorry, Dave, had to get a little dig in there. But in all seriousness, if you had kids that were playing youth sports this summer where you live, would you let them play it? That's a simple question. Butch, I'll go to you first.
Dave, I feel a little guilt down there, huh?
I couldn't hear what he said.
That's a good one. I think that's funny. I think he might not have one. I like that. That's
okay.
Hilarious.
Okay. I'll leave that one alone here. No. Well, let me get serious here. No, I wouldn't let him play. No, not at this time. Right now, Detroit... City of Detroit and the surrounding areas, downriver and such, there's going to be no baseball there. Now, I think the thing is how do you impress these kids to have some meaningful activities where basically they will feel that they accomplished something during the summer, and which is going to be somewhat until they release or they go through the motion of allowing people, and that's if things slow down, or is feasible enough for the governors to kind of give an executive order on that, is that it's not going to happen. Again, I think we as parents and maybe as general public and can think of some meaningful things that these kids can do and where they can, you know, deal with people socially, but learn how to deal with people respectfully there. You can't let the summer go astray. You know, our kids are not responsible for all of this going on right now. We got to think of something, then put things in harm's way. I don't think everyone has all the basics down pat. And again, until I see, 100%, which we're not, or maybe 95% of the general public at large, are buying into certain things you need to do in order to keep the kids safe. I can't see it right now. So that would be a big no.
Dave, we'll go to you for your thoughts.
You see, honestly, and I've said this before in just in basic conversation with friends, and I might have even said in some previous editions of the show, but I don't think finishing or starting any kind of season would be of any benefit. I honestly feel that, and I'm even pointing in direction of like local, regional, and national. I'm talking about everything. I think everything for the summer should just be stopped, and they should just focus on getting kind of the world back on track and the economy, businesses back up, you know, just basically kind of letting the world reset in a different direction. You know, the summer's an ample time for this disease to kind of like fade away and allow the government to put its money to use to come up with a certain vaccine, which even though the summer's not even close to a good time frame because it's going to be longer than that. But at the end of the day, I have been a believer that I do not and did not want to see anything start up or continue or resolve finish, whatever word you want to use, until at least discussion brought up in September. And that means National Hockey League, NBA is done, but local sports, whatever was going to be paused is done, baseball locally done. I've been a fan of that. Okay, I've just really believed that what is 3 more months going to hurt? We've already done it for 70 how many days already, you know, and people have come more closer to family. We've learned to adapt more as a society in terms of our resources with technology, kind of getting home projects done and everything of such. Just more things right now that are more important than the world of sports. And I'm so sorry to say that. I say that in terms of someone being a co-host on a sports show. Heck, I want to be able to talk about sports. I love watching sports, but I feel like the long term is going to be affected if this isn't handled right correctly. But on the flip side, we're talking right now that if the season was going to get started locally in particular, if I'm a parent, okay, I'm gonna follow what the community does. If the league starts back up and if my child, daughter or son, whatever it may be, wants to play, I would support that. I'm a firm believer that you let the kids do what they want to do to an extent, obviously, but in the world of sports, it's a social outing. You build character, you become a grown person, you evolve as a person in these social sports and little league. And even with men's league sports, you know, like if they're going to start it back up, heck yeah, I'm going to be the one there at the field and I'm going to be playing. Okay, and I'm going to follow as best practice as I can to ensure that I have safety because, yes, I still live in my basement at my parents' house who are a little bit older in age, not too old, but older in age, that have some medical issues with thyroid and also asthma, et cetera. So I got to be very cautious. So when I go out in public, I'm going to be cautious about it. So overall, to answer your question, I don't think anything should start back up. But heck, if they do, I'll be excited because I'll be the first one there to play and sign up if I can. And if I had a child, I would let them make the choice if they wanted to play or not. And if they are excited, because obviously if you have a younger one, they may not understand as much as a teenager, or older adult or anything of such. So if they want to play, then I will be there to support them and I'll try to assist in the best way possible with the organizations or with the leagues or at least with my child that I was able to kind of look out for them to make sure they follow the safety protocols to ensure that they don't put anybody else at risk or their family. And that's talking if, funny thing, Scott, if I had a child, which I definitely do not, be very surprised if I did. But at the end of the day, jokes aside, I said my piece in terms of where I think sports should be, but if they do launch back up and if they are going, especially if I had a child in little league or playing any kind of sports, just follow the protocols and heck yes, I would be there to play.
Thank you, Dave. I'll be brief on mine because I know you got to go a little bit earlier. Butch and I will keep going for a little bit on the show. But, you know, to answer my own question, 100%, I would not right now. There's too many unanswered questions. And when you put guidelines into place as far as, okay, if we're going to be back, this is what we're going to have to do. Well, if any indication this weekend around here, and this isn't sports related, but just talking about the bars and the restaurants, you know, 50% occupancy, people are recommended to wear masks because this does spread through droplets from those that are infected that may not know it, that think they're, you know, they're not going to get it because they're 25 years old and they feel healthy. That's the problem because I was not out anywhere this weekend, but I do have many firsthand accounts of people talking packed bars, talking people all over the place, not from this area. And this just came out this afternoon, Traverse City, a little bit south of us, two out-of-state visitors tested positive for the coronavirus. And I'm getting videos of the Mackinac Bridge right now backed up miles. And for those reasons, I am very much an alarmist. I'm very much erring on the side of caution on this because you can't mess around with this stuff. And there's so many people that are just thinking that they are, you know, they're indestructible. This isn't going to, you know, isn't going to hurt them. And I know many of these people. And in many cases, I've agreed with a lot of these people on so many issues. But this is not a right versus left, a red state versus blue state. This is the science. And this is 100,000 people have in the United States have died from this virus. I mean, 100,000. Think about that. This has only been 2.5 months. And, you know, to me, those numbers are staggering. So I don't have kids that play youth sports in the summer. My oldest son plays basketball. He's doing some online camps. But if Little League Baseball came back and said the season is starting in July, I'm not letting them do it. That's just me. And I hope I'm being overreactionary. And I hope that in a few weeks, everything's going back to normal and the cases are down. But I am very skeptical, to say the least, at this point. Dave, I know you got to go here in a few minutes. So we're going to get to your thumbs up and thumbs down for the week. Then we'll go back to Butch for another topic before we get to ours. So, Dave McKeg, what are your thumbs up and thumbs down for the week, sir?
You know what? I'm going to kind of go on a different limb here and say thumbs up to the NHL coming up with a proposed format and improved format. As much as we sit here and how much I sat here and said that I wish nothing started just for safety, but that's not happening. They have phases in place. And I've trusted the NHL is going to come with a safety kind of precaution, make sure everything's safe. They have to. They have those players that they have are insurance policies on skates. Okay, so I thumbs up to the NHL to follow a good kind of proposed program to try to get everything back into place for a world that is starving for some entertainment, essentially to the proper degree. So thumbs up to the National Hockey League and Gary Bettman, NHL, NHLPA. I'm going to go thumbs down. I'm going to go off the realm of sports, and that is to the city of Toronto. Yes, I said, I know I got a lot of friends in Toronto to listen. I know that we get a good demographic of listeners from Toronto, thanks to our Castos internet app, which tracks our analytics for listens. I know we get a good number all the way in Southern Ontario from the Barrie, Peterborough, Hamilton, Toronto, Kitchener, and London region. So I imagine they might be hitting unfollow on my comment here. But at the end of the day, come on now. Okay, let's be safe here. Okay, I'm not a fan of what's going on. I'm done with this lockdown. I'd like to have good precautions in place, but at least be able to do something, like at least to be able to go for a walk, or at least have like protocols in place so we can actually go to parks where it isn't packed, or at least not have this country go back on lockdown, okay? Because that is horrible for our economy, especially if you're in Sault Ste. Marie. Heck, maybe Toronto is not as bad as being in the Sioux, but local businesses here would be done. There'd be local businesses would not be anymore if this continues to go the direction that it is. So thumbs down to the city of Toronto in terms of not following the protocols and social distancing, and hope Doug Ford continues to be a man of his word. If we need another shutdown, go ahead and do it if it's going to teach them a lesson.
Dave, what's up for you this week as far as the Game Sports Show in Sioux, Ontario, and other things you want to plug here in the next couple minutes before we got to let you go?
Definitely. You know, obviously follow the Game Sports Show, Spotify, Apple, Podbean. We have our Facebook and Instagram page. I know Scott goes through that more so at the beginning, also the end, etc. But I just want to make sure I give you a reminder, as well as our special edition shows. Our website has all our shows on there, from our news shows here with the ESPN 1400, Simply Butch on there. It has our special editions and all those great shows that we have. We will have articles now. We'll have a new section with articles, much like if you look at our Facebook page, Daniel Scarpino, our soccer analyst. Scott, you would really enjoy this if you haven't read it. He did a great article on our Facebook page about about soccer. Okay, I'm not a huge expert in the world of soccer, so I'm not going to get into much details about it. But make sure you check out our website. We're going to have some more additions on that site. But in terms of what's coming up for the show, we got some big things here in Sioux, Ontario, as we continue our flood outs of special editions with myself and Brendan Brooks. We have our show with Scott Barney tomorrow. That is going to be uploaded in the morning before noon. He is the Humboldt Broncos coach, and that'll be shared on all social media platforms, including Humboldt Broncos page, etc. Great story with the Humboldt Broncos in terms of what has come out of the tragedy and just his professional hockey career, Scott Barney. And of course, we have some more interviews coming up. We have Bruce Boudreau, former NHL coach, of an interview that will be released as well, as we have some big plans for future edition shows. Heck, one of them is a legend. He's a former Toronto Maple Leaf that played in the 90s. That's all I'm going to leave it at. And we have a lot of big things coming up, so make sure you hit like, follow, and subscribe on all of our platforms to keep it locked on the game.
Butch, any final thoughts for Dave McKeag? I hope you followed all that. Any parting words of wisdom?
Well, the writing part I can get into, because you know me, I am a writer here for local conglomerates and stuff there. Hey, I may, boys and girls, submit a story that is gritty and sweet.
I like it.
We need some more articles. I suck at writing articles, if I'm going to be straight out honest with you. But somebody like Daniel Scarpino, yourself, Butch, yourself, Scott, and even the listeners, I'm opening up the article platform to anybody that wants to submit it. Obviously, I'm going to review it to ensure that it's professional, of course. But if you want to submit an article, you just submit it to our contact information on the page. Butch, you don't have to do that, obviously. You can just give it to me and I'll put it on there for you. Jokes aside, listeners, if you want to submit an article, don't hesitate to do so, because here on the game, we like to promote the talent that is worldwide.
Dave, just a little word of advice on the writing, because you and I have talked about this before. More on the commas, less on the exclamation points, and I'll just leave it at that.
I'm horrible at writing. Oh, my goodness. I'll stick to talking, and even then, it's sometimes a headache.
Dave, you do a great job. We appreciate you coming on our show here on ESPN 1400. Have a great rest of your night, and we'll be looking forward to those shows on thegamesportshow.com, and hopefully we'll talk to you next week, sir.
Yes, you will for sure. Scotty, thank you. Also, Butch, thank you. And to everyone out there, happy Memorial Day in the United States. And thanks to all the listeners. Have a great night.
You too.
All right, that's Dave McKeag joining us on the game. Butch Davis and I will continue here for a topic or two as we near the hour mark of the round table. Butch, I'll turn it over to you as far as next topic. Anything you want to talk about tonight?
I can talk about a lot of things here, but yeah, we'll be good. I'll try to be as decent as I possibly can on the holiday here. You said about college sports there that, and we're talking about college sports there, just not football, but basketball players can return to the campuses to start voluntary workouts in June. Now, that is based on the government and or the governing body in those particular states that will allow the Kitlands on campus there, okay? All not doing that, per se. University of Michigan yesterday made a statement that if there is no students on campus, there will be no football, period. Which was a big story because, again, although colleges make a lot of money from the television revenue they receive, they make the most money by the fans in the stands. And, of course, 100,000 people. It's a lot of fans in the stands there. And I know, Scott, how much you love the University of Michigan and stuff there, so I know you will have plenty to say on this particular comment or these questions here I'm just posing to you.
Yes, you know me, Butch. I bleed maize and blue, no question about that. And you're correct, the president did say if there's no students, there won't be any games. Jim Harbaugh last week, my favorite Michigan coach, because he hasn't done anything in 5 years and he's highly overpaid, has said that they would play games, or he wouldn't mind them playing games without fans. And we've talked about it last week and over the last several weeks. You know, if there aren't classes going on, then there's no reason, first and foremost, to have fans in the stands. But again, and I seem to be going back to this tonight, Butch, it's the health and safety concerns that are first and foremost to me for anything as far as these games and protocol. The Chronicle of Higher Education did a kind of update, first of its kind update, on what colleges and universities have communicated as far as their intentions as of this weekend. Now, here locally at Lake State, it's easy for me to use as an example. They are planning in-person classes starting a little bit earlier in the beginning of August. Sports at this point have not been affected, although we did talk earlier in the show, Butch, one of the schools in the Western Collegiate Hockey Association that the Lake Superior State University Lakers are in, Alabama Huntsville, they shut down their program completely, which leaves the league with 9 teams and likely a couple other ones that are in financial troubling waters. Alaska Anchorage in Alaska, they could also be affected. But getting back to this study, as of right now, again, this according to the Chronicle of Higher Education, my source for this was in Forbes today, 65% of universities right now are planning for in-person classes. 11% are considering a wide range of scenarios. 10%, they're kind of waiting to decide. 6%, they're looking at proposing a bit of a hybrid model. And 6% are planning to go online exclusively. And, you know, right now, June is going to be the big month as far as what happens, obviously, with college football planning to start at this point in August, late August. Of course, you have practices before that. That's a $4 billion expected revenue loss if the college football season is not played. And, you know, there's so many different things that go into just the universities and their capacity to even be able to hold classes. State budgets, for example, you know, these budgets have to be set for the upcoming year. And every state right now is in a financial crunch, including the state of Michigan. And so you have to take that into consideration. I mean, athletics aside, just the fact that some of these schools are able to run efficiently with so little revenue coming in due to shutdowns and the, you know, economy tanking, that's a big deal because, you know, state budgets, unlike the federal budget where you can just keep printing money, state budgets, you got to balance the books. There's no printing press in Lansing that can turn out state dollars to try to keep some of these universities afloat. And then you have conference decisions as far as, you know, you know, can you imagine the SEC not having a football season? You know that they're going to do everything in their power to try to get that to happen. But again, and this seems like I'm a broken record here, Butch, and I'm going to be a broken record until we know more about what's going on with this pandemic, is you have to take the health and safety concerns of the student athletes. If you're not going to have the students there because of safety concerns, then how the hell are you going to have student athletes there that are in as close, if not closer, quarters, trying to quarantine them, trying to do social distancing? It just, it's a big ball of, we don't know right now. And I guess that's the best way I can describe it, Butch, is it's a big ball of, we don't know. I think the Michigan president is correct. They should not hold fans in the stands, obviously, if these students are on there. But Butch, I hope we know more in the upcoming weeks, because right now it's just a big question mark, as far as I'm concerned, on what's going to go on, let alone sports, but just in life in general.
Hmm. Very good comment here. Boy, you cut the gamut on there. And I, excuse me, I personally agree with you there on a lot of facts there. If you can't have the school body in school, and, you know, a full-time regimen, why would you even think about having a season of football or anything else there, when basically the deal is to entertain the student body first and foremost, maybe the general public at large, the fans that support that particular school will be second to me, but the students first and foremost will be the anchor on that there. And I don't believe that right now they got enough answers to assure that they're going to have a clean and crisp season without any incidents. And you spoke of Traverse City. You know, when they open up the floodgates for people that, you know, have some, you know, and the rules were just stated very, very plainly there. Social distancing, this and that, mask, wearing masks. And you see the rumble of crispy critters going through up Traverse City and other cities up north there. It's very scary indeed. And
very much, Butch.
Very scary. And, you're going to find a whole heck of a, you know, I hate to say this, but you're going to find some failures in that particular call there, where the governor, again, will probably have to reach back and say, we extend this another 2 weeks, and here we go again now, you know, because we let up a little bit in our guard, knowing good and well we don't know enough about this virus in order to say, you know, we'll cave in there. I know economy means a whole heck of a lot, but you don't have your health, you ain't got no economy in the get-go there.
Exactly.
So for all this to jump off and mentally kind of stagnate people's minds to feel this way or that way, instead of we come down the middle and say, you know, this is what's going on, this is what we got to do as a general public, it's going to be chaos. You know, I mentioned the National Hockey League and NBA there, but there's no way in heck that they're going to have a season if one or two players test positive, because we know that for a fact what happened in Detroit can happen anywhere. That was that particular stage of that particular individual, Rudy Gobert, in Detroit, got the whole ball rolling for everybody in the world, okay? You know, Detroit was that hub, okay, if you don't like it or not. So we just can't do it right now. I think there's not enough information, and I think everybody has to be on key that the scientists and authorities of this particular disease, that they're going out there and busting their behind to find out if we can get a cure or what makes this thing tick, and they can give us some definitive things. The most definitive thing they're telling us right now is separation, wearing a mask, and the necessary, you have to be in certain places and wear gloves, washing your hands, and washing them constantly. And I just don't see that right now. I don't see it happening, you know. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news. Hopefully things go better. But right now, the way things are cooked the grass here, and I'm quite sure at 6, 11 o'clock news today, it's going to be stagnant with people just breaking the rules. Because you know, if it bleeds, it leads. This is going to be a wait and see progress.
Butch, and I just want to add one point to what you said, which I thought was very well put. You know, you can relax restrictions and put recommendations in, but they don't do diddly squat if people don't follow him. And I guarantee it. And again, I was not out this weekend. I stayed in, I stayed away because I saw the throngs of people that were coming here from other areas. And I'm not going to put the total blame on those people coming up here. But as much as the confusing things that I have is people around here, because we've only had two confirmed cases in the entire county throughout this, Butch, and people, a lot of people I know, a lot of people my age, younger than me, even older than me, they don't believe that this is something that's going to hit them. They're either going to refuse to wear a mask because it's a political statement or whatever, or they're just not thinking that this is going to hurt them. Well, I don't know. I don't know anybody that has this. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter if you don't know anybody. The fact is, you know, if there were some differing opinions from the medical experts, then I might give a little benefit of the doubt. But Butch, it seems like at least the ones that I read, the ones that I listen to, you know, the ones from the CDC, they're saying in order to prevent the spread, wear a mask, separation, because you don't have to have symptoms to pass this on. And you know, I was talking earlier about, you know, Memorial Day and the Greatest Generation. And I wonder if this current generation, and I'm not saying millennials or anything, I'm just saying society as a whole right now, was back in 1941 and Pearl Harbor happened, would we have had a totally different result from that, from the way our society is now, from the Greatest Generation? I think it's a fair question to ask on Memorial Day, and I guess that'll be my topic, although it's not really sports related. I think it's pretty fitting considering the current climate and being Memorial Day. If this generation was, 1941 Pearl Harbor, would it have been a different result?
You bet it would. I think everybody be in their house, they'd be bunkered down and shoot locks on doors. This is after they raid the supermarkets or wherever the hell they got to shop at to get everything they need and then some and bury some. But again, the conflict of that is very simple. Normally back then and there, neighbors help neighbors, okay? People help people. You know, a loaf of bread or we don't have no butter in the house. I remember neighbors coming over our house for hot sauce and stuff there, so they could put it on their husband's lunch because they were working midnights and stuff there. We don't have that retrogy right now. I mentioned the Russell Wilson particular thing, and, you know, maybe I'm old-fashioned there, but why barter on something right now that it shouldn't be no bartering with here? And I agree with you wholeheartedly there. You know, the bad portion of this whole particular situation right now is what we hear from the medical people, which you want to believe, versus what we hear from the politicians.
Yep.
And that is the most disgusting thing. And I think right now, if there is a barrier of anything, it has to be somebody got to come down the middle. My father used to have an old saying, somebody got to have some damn sense. And, you know, somebody got to bring the two parties together and say, hey, look, we got to be on one page here. We can't do it the way I feel and the president saying one thing and I believe the schools should be opened up and blah, 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 blah. And here's the CDC and our scientists saying, hey, wait a minute, buddy. This ain't going away too soon. That should hold a light bulb, and it should be green to say, hey, look here, buddy. Let me find out what more I can need to find out here. So not only I'll be safe, but everyone that I'm responsible for will be safe as well. And we don't have that climate right now as well. We have news, and people hate to watch the news. I kind of invite people to kind of pick and choose what they have to watch, even down to the TV right now. I mean, most of us have cable there, but there's some very, very good stations out there that report straight on, born on news without all the fillers and the crap there. You can get news from Germany, you can get news from Japan, you can get news from the BBC, from Canada, which you're right there with CBC operates and some other stations, Global as well, that I used to have connections with and used to work for. There's many places that you can get some good information. And really, we need to invest more time and just trying to get the good information instead of seeing this barroom brawl between politicians and scientists there. It makes no doggone sense at all, because if it's on me, I'm going to go with the scientists. That's their calling. They know what's going on, and I'm going to be safer. Not so much the politicians that maybe let a bag of tricks go on up there because they're moved by pressures or people coming up on the Capitol, running in the Capitol with guns and knives and all this other crap here. This is just ridiculous there. You know, we talk about our children. If we don't show our children unity, how will they get it and they develop when they get older? How will they do it?
Great points, Butch, and just to kind of add to the topic there as far as the greatest generation, if this generation now was back in World War II, I remember a little personal story. I was in boot camp, and the first movie that I saw right out of boot camp was Saving Private Ryan, and I'm sure everybody's seen that or knows of the movie, and the opening scene when Tom Hanks is on the U-boat or whatever boat it was to, you know, storm the shores of Normandy, and the bullets flying, and you just think of the courage that took all those people. Many of them enlisted on their own. There was no draft. They weren't, you know, they weren't forced to the table, so to speak. They were all volunteers, risking their lives. And you are telling me that you can't have a drink from home for a while or have the common decency to put on a mask because of some politician that says it's not the right thing to do or because you think that this can affect you? I've been pretty fired up about that this weekend, Butch, because I saw this coming, and when the governor opened up this part of the state, and again, I understand that there's businesses that are hurting, and if I was a business owner, absolutely I'd want to open up, but again, it has to be in a safe manner, and you can put all the guidelines and recommendations out there, but when you don't have people following them, then it's dangerous. And so I'm hoping that people start to shape up as far as keeping themselves safe, but also keeping those that are most vulnerable safe. The North Dakota governor Friday, and I don't know his name, I don't know his political identity, but talking about, social distancing and wearing a mask, he had a really good point. You're not only, protecting yourselves and others, but you're protecting my 5-year-old son who is undergoing cancer treatments. And put that in perspective, maybe when you think it's maybe not a good idea to separate or put on a mask or stay at home. I know we got a little political, Butch, as far as that, but I think it's important information to get out because, it encompasses not just the politics and general life and sports, but just, how things are going. And so I think it's very pointed to point these things out. And do you have any final thoughts before we get to our thumbs up and thumbs down for the week?
I sure in the hell do here.
I knew you did.
This is Memorial Day here, and we tip our hats and we bow our heads sometimes to the people who bust their brains out and giving us the freedoms that we have here. And and you mentioned the Upper Peninsula, and when I heard that was going to start up, they're going to use that place as a damn guinea pig to see how many people get this and don't get this here. And the bad part about it is the majority of the people going up there right now don't live in Upper Peninsula, okay?
Right.
They're up in some, who thought it, USA here, up in all parts, okay? Because they know that this lovely part of our state, it is opening up and giving permission to do what they need to do in order to make a day economically there that, what's going to fall out from it? How many people, they say, after they test positive, they're going to tell the truth and tell where they've been? That's normally right now, according to the scientists, is the revenue part, because those particular individuals that these people been around, they need to be told, too, to, either get tested or be retested, because this is what happened, or this particular individual we have knowledge of, da-da-da-da-da, this boom-bah. You think about these things, and, it's better to be silent than golden, but sometimes we have a medium right now that basically allows us to maybe say something more sometime in an opinionated matter, but factually there, you know, we got to say the things that, you know, that's been preached by our governors and our president and stuff. The social distancing is the way to go about it. We got to be responsible. Our kids, we're in charge of their responsibility. So we got to think more sometimes of them than we do ourselves and stuff there. And in some of these shots, and this is not to put down a whole state, because there are some great parents out there, you know, together and not together, taking doggone good at their children and love them dearly. So you would hate for something like that to happen because someone do something right and because somebody want to do something wrong or their beliefs, this thing goes to pot here. So, you know, I'm just praying that things don't go to pot right now here. And you know, some things, they take some food and thought here and get this right here until we get a vaccine, until we get some cures established. You know, let's get this right here. Let's be cooperative.
Well said, Butch. Well said. Let's get to our thumbs up and thumbs down for the week. I think I got all my thumbs down in my my rants tonight, so we're going to skip those. I got three thumbs up. First and foremost, Butch, thumbs up again. Memorial Day, remembering all those that gave their lives for not just the United States and country, but for freedom around the world. Do never forget those people. And currently, we have people that are still serving and doing such, and Butch, you always mention it in your show, the essential workers that are out there. Every time I go into a grocery store, I thank the individuals that are doing that, the postal service. I mean, the list goes on and on of the essential things, the, you know, people bringing the food trucks to the supermarkets, the healthcare workers, obviously. So remember them on this day and don't forget them after this day. Another thumbs up. I got through my first book, Butch, Hockey, A Global History by Stephen Hardy and Andrew Holman. I learned a whole bunch about how hockey developed, especially in Europe. I never really read much on the European development of hockey, and it was very interesting. Our good friend Don Supa listens every week. I'm going to let him borrow that book next. And the next one I'm getting into right now is by a gentleman named David Goldblatt. It's called The Ball is Round, A Global History of Soccer. 900 pages. I'm going to get so much tan sitting on the beach and on my deck reading that book. So I'm very excited for that. And my third thumbs up, I'm going to give a thumbs up to our neighbors to the north in Canada. They seem a whole lot more unified and together about this COVID-19 situation. And it starts from their leadership. And guess what? They're getting leadership. Dave mentioned the premier, Doug Ford in Ontario. Of course, he's got an interesting history, but I really like what Canada is doing. They are certainly looking at the science. And Justin Trudeau, somebody that I've never really had a whole lot of good things to say about. Again, I'm not Canadian, but they seem to be doing what they need to do. And Canada seems a hell of a lot more unified than this country. And so we could take a lot of lessons in general, Butch. I know you're Canadian, so you'll probably support me on this. We could take a whole lot of lessons from our neighbors in the north. I think we should take a lesson right now and look at what they're doing, how they're acting, and how they're being decent humans in this pandemic that we're all facing. So those are all my thumbs up for the week. Butch, thumbs up and thumbs down, sir.
Okay. Decent humans. Let's thumbs like up that for that one there. I like that. Decent humans there. Thumbs up on that one there.
Thank you.
Last couple of weeks, maybe 3 or 4 weeks down the road, we looked at the Michael Jordan story in its entirety. A lot of you watched it for the first time. Me getting firsthand knowledge as a reporter and traveling around that particular circle, I know a whole heck of a lot about it. I thought the show was very sensationalistic. But again, you got to know the real person, good, bad, or ugly, of Michael Jordan. One of the shows that maybe I'm recommending, if you have it, if you have a channel called Vice, look at it tomorrow night on Tuesday at 8 o'clock. They have a show called What About the Shoes? And it shows the impact that conglomerates and not media people per se in general, but again, how commercially things can go out of whack, good, bad, and ugly there. I remember when the Michael Jordan shoe came out, everybody thought it was good, but again, when you $160 back when Michael Jordan was playing, it's like $1,000 today here, okay? And I could never understand the problems that came about when kids were snatching shoes off of people's feet, people getting killed, and the whole rip ran about it. Vice does an excellent job. This is the second time that it's been on the air. But again, I invite everybody to watch that particular show there. It will make you kinder and gentler. It will make you get more involved. I tip my hat off to people like Akeem Olajuwon and Julius Irvings, who, when they did do something, they made sure if it was bought, it was bought at a price that people can afford. And the thing that the companies and also the conglomerates and also maybe the people involved that signed off on those particular goodies to be marketed for their expertise and their pocketbook could have said a lot in order to stop some things that were going on. And you'll find out the answer. I don't want to give the show away, but it's going to be very heart-wrenching and food for thought there. So I invite you to watch that particular one. If you got Vice in your house, that's the channel in your area there. Of course, 8 o'clock Tuesday night, Eastern Standard Time, of course, there.
You'll definitely check that one out. Butch, Butch on Sports, available on the website, Simply Butch 2. That's too.podomatic.com, a brand new edition last night. You can also find it at thegamesportshow.com. Butch, I was on the deck this afternoon when the sun came out, eyes closed, listening to Butch on Sports. It was a great experience. What do you have on tap this week for your show?
We don't get cooperation from certain individuals. Well, I don't know. But
yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow. I can guarantee you that.
I don't know, but I tell you right now here, golly. We'll be watching, I'm glad to share, the National Hockey League and also the National Basketball Association and also Major League Baseball. And right now we know Major League Baseball has a lot of teams in Florida and Arizona, per se. They're able to play catch with their buddies and whatever it may be, but a full-fledged camp has not been officially opened up for everybody. We'll find out the answers to these and other questions of when the National Hockey League, if they plan to start, will start, and how cooperative the states that they're going to reside from is going to be cooperative with them.
Butch, thanks for joining us tonight on The Game. Stay safe and well this week. You and I will be talking here this week off air, and we'll talk to you next Monday night on our next edition of The Game. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Yes, you too. And hey, everybody have a safe and pleasurable holiday and week.
Yes, indeed. That's going to do it for our Monday night edition of The Game. Again, you can find our show on the website, thegamesportshow.com. You can also find it on the podcast site, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. Go to social media, Instagram and Facebook. You can also find Butch on Sports on Facebook and on iTunes. We're on several platforms. We're growing in listenership. And we appreciate each and every one of you for listening. And please provide us feedback. Feel free to comment on social media. You can also contact us directly. Many of you that listen know how to do that. So we appreciate you listening. And we'll keep you informed, entertained, and updated on the world of sports and just the world in general as we did tonight. That's going to do it for our show. I want to thank Dave McKeag, Butch Davis. My name is Scott Nason. We'll talk to you next Monday night for our next edition of The Game, sponsored by ESPN 1400, The Game Entertainment and Media, and currently heard at thegamesportshow.com and thegamesportshow.podbean.com. Have a great night, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Game here on ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader. Check us out next Monday at 6 for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. You can hear the podcast of the show and other broadcasts at thegamesportshow.com.